This is the 21st Show. I'm Reginald Hardwick, in for Brian Mackey. If you are in tune with the world of women's basketball, no doubt you have heard that 2024 is the year for the sport, as women's basketball has never been as popular as it is right now. And it's in part due to the University of Illinois team winning the inaugural Women's Basketball Invitation Tournament. They beat the Villanova Wildcats 71-57 just last night. And Illinois senior guard Makaira Cook won the 2024 WBIT Most Outstanding Player Award. And the NCAA Women's Basketball Tournament plays in the semifinals tomorrow night. Louisiana State's Angel Reese and University of Iowa's Caitlin Clark have become household names. So for the next 15 minutes or so, we're going to explore the continued rise in popularity of women's basketball and look at how the Fighting Illini played in the WBIT tournament instead of the NCAA. Joining me right now is Kenna Roaring, sports editor of the Daily Iowan. Kenna, welcome to the 21st Show.
Thank you guys so much for having me. I'm glad to be here.
And listeners, you can join the conversation by giving us a call at 800-222-9455. Again, that's 800-222-9455. Especially, we want to hear from those Caitlin Clark fans listening to us in Iowa on WVIK, or Fighting Illini fans listening to us right here on WILL in Central Illinois. Kenna, what is it like to be covering someone making such an impact like Caitlin Clark?
Yeah, honestly, it has just been a wild year. This is actually just my second year with the newspaper and my first as editor. So, I mean, what a time to work at the student newspaper. I really couldn't ask for a better time to be here and to lead a group of reporters who get to cover someone that's a generational talent. I'm super thankful, but you know, it's been crazy in terms of the media coverage that's coming to Iowa City, the lines that you see at games. I mean, the women's basketball season tickets sold out before Kinnick Stadium sold out for the football season. And you know, last year it kind of started gaining traction after Caitlin hit that game winner against Indiana, and then they went on that run in the Big Ten tournament, NCAA tournament. We saw a lot of hype, but now that hype has just been here all year long, and it's followed the team and Caitlin wherever they go. I mean, Ohio Hawkeye fans are expected to invade Cleveland this weekend. It's going to be a pretty pro-Iowa crowd tomorrow, I expect, against LSU. It was a lot of Iowa fans in there. It was super loud, but I mean, they are just attracting people from all across the country of all ages to tune into women's basketball. And especially as a woman, I mean, I've always loved sports, but I grew up watching men's sports. So this is really the first time for me too. And I think a lot of other women, where I'm seeing women play on TV and it's being appreciated and talked about.
And I understand that you've known Caitlin for a while, at least known her playing power for a while.
Yeah, I went to Waukee High School. She went to Dowling. Those two schools are about 15 minutes apart from each other. And my dad actually teaches at Dowling. So he had Caitlin in class. He had both of her brothers in class as well. So I've seen her play since she was a freshman in high school. And, you know, she was the same. Obviously, she's gotten more skilled as she's grown throughout her career. But in terms of the deep threes, the crazy passes, just her court vision and the way she knows how things are going to go before they even happen. And just the way she, you know, she's always been fiery and passionate and, you know, talking to the refs and stuff like that. I mean, it's still the same Caitlin that I saw when she was a freshman in high school. But I know that people, you know, thought she was good, but I don't think we ever would have imagined just how big she is. I mean, everywhere I go, when I went to the Big Ten tournament for wrestling, and that was in Maryland, and you know, when I would go into my Uber, they would be like, "Why are you here?" And I'm like, "I'm covering Iowa wrestling." And the first question they would ask me is, "So you cover Caitlin Clark? Like, do you know Caitlin Clark? Blah blah blah." I mean, everywhere I go, if I mention I work for the student newspaper, it's always Caitlin Clark. And I see, it's just, it's amazing, really. But yeah, seeing her grow, I mean, like I said, she's always kind of been the same player, had the same passion. But now, you know, she was kind of leading that high school team. And I think she kind of got frustrated at times because her high school teammates just couldn't keep up with her. She was just steps ahead of everyone. They couldn't, you know, handle her passes, stuff like that. And now, you know, especially with having Kate Martin and Gabby Marshall, she's had the same starting lineup with those few girls the past 4 or 5 years. So just the way that they've, you know, meshed together. And I think that's really helped her game grow, as well as having teammates that she can really trust.
We're talking with Kenna Roering, sports editor with the Daily Iowan. There's another name that's also become really huge is Angel Reese. And, you know, I guess in your view, why do you think they've really become such talk about, you know, and also what have they done for the sport and its popularity?
Yeah, I think those two players specifically, Angel and Caitlin, I think it's the passion that they play with, and they're not afraid to show that passion and yell. And, you know, it's something that we don't really see in women's sports. And that's not because women didn't do that before, but just the media coverage hasn't been there. So I think, you know, when you watch football or men's basketball or anything, you always see guys get hyped up and yelling and sometimes cussing or whatever. I mean, that's just always part of the game. And now Caitlin and Angel have really been two women who have showed that same passion and shown that women can be just as fiery and competitive and just as entertaining. And so I think that's really the main thing that makes those two stand out. But also, they're both just, they know what position they're in, and they know the impact that they can have and that they do have, especially on the younger generation, and they really embrace that. Caitlin always talks about, you know, being a role model and how, you know, the cameras are always on her. She wants to put her best foot forward always, but, you know, it's just, they're always in the spotlight. Those two have really, I think, made the game grow a ton this past year, but you also can't forget all the people that came before that paved the way, you know, 30, 40 years ago. There's always been talent, like I said, but it just hasn't really, it hasn't been shown. I mean, it wasn't until like 4 years ago that ESPN started showing the women's tournament on broadcast television. And I mean, we saw against Iowa versus LSU, 12 over 12 million people tuned in. I mean, when it's put on TV and when you give people an opportunity to watch women's sports, they'll watch it. And Caitlin and Angel, I mean, just their personalities, but you couldn't ask for a better game. I mean, that was just two stars. You know, it just totally lived up to the hype.
Yeah, we're about 8 minutes left in our conversation. If people want to join us, they can call us at 800-222-9455, 800-222-9455. Kenna, can you briefly explain the difference between the NCAA tournament tomorrow and the WBIT tournament, which the Illini won last night?
Yeah, so the WBIT, that's new this year. And so that is, it's different from the women's NIT, which has been a thing for a while, but that's privately owned and that's not sanctioned by the NCAA. So the WBIT, basically the first four teams out of the NCAA tournament, those four teams receive the number one seeds in the WBIT. And it really just gives more teams the chance to play in the postseason. And I think that is another huge step toward growing women's basketball, because, you know, the more games that we play, the more it's on TV, the more people see, the more people want to watch. But yeah, so the WBIT is broadcast on ESPN. When ESPN signed their network deal, it included the WBIT. But it's 32 teams, and compared to the 64 teams that are in the NCAA tournament. Mm-hmm. And it's also very, like the committee tries to make it location based, like, you know, the teams on the same side of the bracket, they try and make those teams very close together so teams don't have to travel. And then also teams get to host until I think the semifinals. So it's just a really cool thing, especially for like a program like Illinois. You know, they had a decent season, but just for them to be able to play, it makes the team better. It makes, you know, it gives more people an opportunity to come and watch women's basketball. And it really helps the growth between men and women, because, you know, men have always had the NIT and the NCAA tournament. They've always had postseason opportunities. And so now we're seeing that happen for women too. And so the women's NIT is a little bit more teams than the WBIT, but again, it's not sanctioned by ESPN, and so it doesn't really get as much attention. So this edition of the WBIT really is kind of on the same level as the men's NIT and can be compared to that.
Let's talk about attending the Final Four game now. You may have heard this on Morning Edition earlier today, especially about how much it will cost to attend tomorrow's games.
Caitlin Clark and the University of Iowa are electrifying women's college basketball this year, but if you want to see Clark play live, it's going to cost you. Tickets for this year's Women's Final Four are currently reselling for an average of around $2,300. That's more than double the men's Final Four average. If you're on a budget, the cheapest ticket is about $650. Sometimes greatness is worth the price of admission.
That's great. Kenna, what do you think about, you know, these costs, and do you think overall the funding for women's basketball programs will rise? And I'll just ask you to give me a brief answer there.
Yeah, I do. I mean, since, you know, Carver sold out this year, it's been hard to get tickets to every single game that Iowa plays in, but it's just crazy. I think, excuse me, I think, you know, the night after Iowa beat LSU, I think the NCAA women's site, it spiked like 160% in terms of clicks, and ticket prices went up like 19% overnight. So just wherever Caitlin goes, ticket prices are usually pretty high, but and people are willing to pay them, which is crazy. But yeah, I think it's really special, and you know, it's expensive, but like that ad said, that product is completely worth it. I mean, I don't even know how much people paid for that Iowa LSU game. I know some of them paid thousands of dollars just for the tickets alone, and then they had to travel to New York. But I mean, I don't think you could have asked for anything more out of that game.
Where will you be at tomorrow's game, and who do you think is going to win?
Yeah, so I'm actually in Cleveland right now. I'm in the arena. Iowa press conferences just got done. UConn's in a little bit. I haven't checked out where the media seating is, but I was courtside at the Sweet 16 and Elite 8, which was super awesome. But I think this will be an awesome game. And, you know, Lisa Bluter, Iowa head coach, just said in the press conference she doesn't want this to be, you know, Paige Buchers versus Caitlin Clark. She wants it to be Iowa versus UConn. But, you know, people are going to make it Paige versus Caitlin. That's already what's been happening. But it's just two very talented teams who really like to play up-tempo. And so I think it'll be really interesting. I mean, I expect Iowa to play fast and try and get points in transition. I think their transition offense is where they're the best. And then outside of Paige, you know, I don't really think a lot of people know the other UConn players, but they're here for a reason. And, you know, Paige might stuff the stat sheet up, but they have other players, you know, who play great defense and may not score a lot of points. It's kind of like Gabby Marshall for Iowa. She can play lockdown defense for the whole 40 minutes but not score anything, but you still have such a big impact on the game. So I think it'll be an all-timer. I'm super excited. I do think it'll be close, but I think Iowa's going to pull it out.
And we're not just seeing strides on the court, but also in leadership. I understand Iowa has made an historic appointment in the athletics administrations. Can you tell us briefly about that?
Yeah, so Beth Goetz, she became athletic director just in this past year, less than a year ago. She is Iowa's first woman to oversee the entire athletics department. And before her was Christine Grant, who is just has been a trailblazer in terms of Title IX. The University of Iowa has a rich history with Title IX and the growth of women's sports, especially women's basketball. I mean, you look back, you go all the way back to the high school when there was 6-on-6. I mean, Iowa has such a rich history of girls and women's basketball. But Beth Goetz, I think she also played college sports and she coached. And I think her experience as a woman, I think, is really beneficial, especially in times like right now when women's sports are exploding. I mean, she understands what it's like to play college athletics as a woman. And, you know, she sees the differences firsthand from now until she was playing. So, she's the only female athletic director in the Big Ten as of now. But when USC, UCLA, when those schools join, I believe USC has a woman athletic director. So, but still, I mean, you just don't see women a lot in those types of positions. So I think it's a great step forward. And it just kind of adds on to Iowa's rich history of
very historic. Well, Kenna, we're running out of time. Kenna Roaring, sports editor with the Daily Iowan. Thank you for joining us. Hopefully we'll see winning championships on both sides of the Mississippi. Up next, we'll meet the Illinoisan becoming the first U.S. professor to teach a traditional Japanese comic art. I'm Reginald Hardwick, and you are listening to The 21st Show.